greatest ways that God speaks is through his word. Join us as we share in a scriptural affirmation from the fourth chapter of John, starting at the 11th verse. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again.
But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw.
Jesus said unto her, Go, thy daughter, and come hither.
The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet.
Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.
Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things.
Jesus saith unto her, I have seen unto thee and
me. Oh Lord, may we recognize you when you speak to us. Help us, Lord, to this day welcome you in this place. We're welcoming you to what's yours anyway. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would have your way this day here, that you would speak to us in such a way that we would grow in the knowledge of you, that you would speak to us in such a way that we would act in a way that would glorify your name. Lord, we need you. We can't do without you. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. Be like, what it'll be like when we walk the streets of gold, what it will be like when we see him, what it will be like to be with him in such a different and unique and wonderful way, what it'll be like. I can only imagine how good it is to be with our Lord and Savior, because one day he will crack the sky, he will come, and every eye will see him, and every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I can only imagine how wonderful, how wondrous that will be. Our scripture today comes from the fourth chapter of the book of John. Fourth chapter of the book of John. We're going to start, of course, at the first verse. I want to add a little bit of extra to what we read earlier. because it tells a little bit of the background so that you understand this scene that we are about to immerse ourselves in. It says in 4:1, doesn't say this, but I feel like we ought to do this. Let's stop and pray. Dear Father, we need you. We need to understand. We need you to open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts so that we might receive you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit this day. Lead us, guide us, change us, make us into the people that you have called us to be. We trust you, Lord. And we know we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 1 says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Every word of the scripture is so amazing. And I noticed something that I don't think I'd ever really noticed before. This is not a new thing, and maybe to you it's not even a big thing. But do you notice that he said that Jesus made disciples? That's important because we are to be imitators of Christ. And if we are to be imitators of Christ, we need to be about the business of making disciples. See, we are people that should make disciples, that make disciples, that make disciples. We need to understand that we are to be passing this along. We are, if you're saved, the only reason you're here is to see that someone else is saved, so that they will see that someone else is saved, so that one day we will all be with him. He made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself didn't do the baptizing, but his disciples. He left Judea and departed and went into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. That's a rare thing for a Jew at that time. They didn't like going through Samaria. The region of Samaria was several cities, and this region, well, it was a place where there had been at one time quite a few Jews imported there when they were in exile. There was a time when many of the Jews married other groups of people. So these groups of people here in this Samaritan region were kind of like half-breeds. They were looked down on. They weren't thought well of. It wasn't an area that Jews, any good respecting Jew, wanted to be associated with. In fact, the people in Samaria had worshipped on Mount Gerizim instead of in Jerusalem. And there had always been, or for a long, long time, had been this division there. But Jesus refused to go around the long way because he knew that he was called that day to go through Samaria because he had an appointment. Where do you go that you know that you've had an appointment to? Where do you go when you know that God is leading you there? Verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. This place had huge history for the Jews. They were just full of all kinds of things that had happened there. Abraham's wife had been buried there. There was just so much that had gone on in this place. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jacob's well still exists today, I believe. And that well is even now more than 100 feet deep. This is a nice deep well for that time. And he cometh to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied, he was bone tired. See, we know that Jesus had humanity because he was just flat out tired. Being wearied with his journey, he sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There in the heat of the day, this is a hot area, and he is sitting there, and he's tired, and he is thirsty. But a strange thing happens. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. She comes in the middle of the day, in the hottest part of the day. This means that she was a social outcast. She didn't like being around the other women. She didn't like being around the crowds. She came at a time when nobody else would have been there. Then cometh that woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says unto her, "Give me to drink." Tell the truth. Sometimes you're wondering, God, you're asking so much of me. I don't have much. Why do I have to work so hard? Why do I have to go through this stuff? But Jesus says, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me? You don't have anything to do. I am a lone woman." And you know that men weren't supposed to be alone with women that weren't their wives. I am a Samaritan woman, and you Jews don't have anything to do with us Samaritans. How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." I can imagine what she's thinking. This dude is nuts. Here I'm in the middle of the day. All I want to do is get my water and get out of here. And this crazy man is at the well. Listen, I guess I'll just play along. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." Remember, it's over 100 feet deep. "From whence then hast thou that living water? You don't have a bucket, you don't have a rope, you don't have anything. How are you going to do this?" She's probably sounding pretty sarcastic right about now. "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" And she says, "Listen, you and I have shared history. I may be a Samaritan, you may be a Jew, but we both go back to Jacob. And this is Jacob's well. Are you greater than him? You're going to give me something that he couldn't give me? Are thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Yeah, they were all here. Are you greater than that? What do you think of Jesus? Do you think Jesus is just a man? Do you think that he wasn't really all that special? He's just a historical figure? Or do you see him as something more? Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." And she's going, duh. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well, be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now she's getting curious. She's starting to wonder, what in the world is this guy talking about? "The woman saith unto him, Sir, why don't you give me this water, that I thirst not, and neither come hither to draw? I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of coming out here. Why don't you give me this special water that you say that you have, even though you're asking me for a drink?" Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come here." That must have why are you getting in my business, man? Okay. I know how to answer that. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband. Just stay out of my business." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly." Listen, when you come to the realization that someone knows you better than you know yourself, it shakes you up. When you come to the realization that someone knows your sin, it messes with you. When you come to the realization that there is someone standing before you that seems to have a connection with the divine, it messes with your mind, and it messed with her mind. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I believe you're something special. Let's go down this path of you being something special. Let's think about this for a second. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain," speaking of Gerizim, where they were near. "Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. That's what you say." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman," need you to understand something here. I need you to get something here. "Woman, believe me." See, we need to hear Jesus speaking to us today. "Believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." It's not geographical location. It's not what church building you're in. It's none of those things. "Ye worship ye know not what." People out in the world don't have a clue what worship truly is. Not worship of God. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. They were the conduit of the blessings of God. They were the people that had been called to show the world what God was like. They were these people. But that doesn't mean that they had taken advantage of the things that they knew. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers. Are you a true worshiper? Are you a true worshiper of God? Has he really taken your heart? Has he really grasped your heart? Are you a true worshiper? Because the hour is coming when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. In an amazing way, worship the Father from something that you can't see, in a way that others can't understand. The wind blows, but you can't tell where it came from or where it's going. Are you worshiping the Father in spirit, but also in truth? In truth, what's truth? That's what Pontius Pilate wanted to know. What is truth? The word of God is truth. This word of God that's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows you. This word of God knows you. You want to know yourself? Know the word of God. Know him. He wants you to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. He wants the word of God to dwell in you richly. Is that word of God dwelling in you richly? How many of us have used excuses for not knowing the word of God, not understanding the word of God? Here we've been at something for 50 years of our life and don't seem to get it because we're just satisfied sitting with the saints. But really, sitting with the saints, sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car. Sitting with the saints doesn't make you a saint. You need to be one who is called, who has been changed, and is growing in him. We are disciples that make disciples. We are people that have been changed. We are people that are honestly saying we repent of our sins. We are people that are honestly saying that we believe the word of God and we believe in him. We are people that believe the gospel. And we are people who are following him. Following him. You see, the devils believe. You know, it's really funny how often that the demons in the Word of God said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. You don't send us back before our time." They recognized him, but they didn't have him. You have the opportunity today to know him. You have the opportunity to be with him. So you don't want to just, "Oh, there he is." You want to be, "Hey, where are we going? Where are we going? Because I'm following you wherever. Wherever we're called to follow him." So we repent, we believe, we follow, because we are in the midst of this grand story, this amazing story of how Jesus was born of a virgin to complete this Old Testament storyline that's going on here, that the king would come, and that this king that comes would be the Messiah, the anointed one, and that this anointed one would die on the cross for my sin and for your sin, and that this anointed one would get up out of the grave 3 days later, and that this anointed one would call us into a life of following him, because we believe the good news of the gospel. Do you believe the good news of the gospel? That's what we are to be about. So, let's go to verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah is cometh. I know he's coming. We believe that, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus says unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You know, a lot of people tell you, well, Jesus never said he was the Messiah. He never declared that he was the one to come. He, right here, very publicly, he says, I that speak unto thee am he. He's God. He's the one with whom we have to do. He is the one who this day is calling you. He's the one who says, without me, you can do nothing. He's the one that says he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one that we have to do with. He is the one who is calling you to believe. Sometimes I think we're just satisfied just viewing all of this like we're watching a movie. Pass me a little popcorn. And we can do better than that, because he has called us. He's empowering us. Today, will you hear him calling you? Today, do you recognize he that speaks unto you is Jesus? He's God? Will you recognize that today? He's drawing you into a deeper, fuller, richer relationship. Today, if you feel the tug of the Spirit, harden not your heart as they did in the day of the provocation. We don't want to do that. We want to flow with him. We want him to move in us. Let me share just 2 minutes and take this. Drop down to Verse 34, Mary. It's okay, you can keep playing. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. You know, you've been called to a work. It's by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created unto Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. I mean, you know the seasons. You know when things happen. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There are people all around you that need Jesus Christ. He is not looking for a perfect vessel, a perfect person. He is looking for an available person. Are you available? Are you available to God? He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, and both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I want us to be able to rejoice. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I've sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Do the work that God has called you to. You're called to be a disciple, a learner, a person who learns the will of God, the word of God, the way of God, and then teaches others the way of God, the will of God, so that they can teach others. Please don't be satisfied with just getting in and patting out the fire from your butt. I'm just meddling. Let me stop. Dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just ask that you would bless these folks. You might want to pray this prayer. Dear Father, I know that you have called me. Here's how I know. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I couldn't have done that if you hadn't called me. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I couldn't have known that if you hadn't called me. I know you have called me. I know that I have sinned, but the blood of Christ has cleansed me from all sin. I know this because you have called me. So today, Lord, help me to walk joyfully in that truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If God is calling you today and you sense it and you just want to confirm that, the altar is open to you. God wants to do such great and marvelous work in our midst, in you, in me. Receive him today. The altar is open to you.